And now, everyone's favorite autodidactic iconoclast, Drew Marshall.
Fade. Why'd you fade that so quickly?
Sorry, let me try again.
Oh no, it's not. She was turning down my headphones. That's why I faded.
Okay.
Megs, stop touching things. Turning down.
I want you to interview this guy, Lenny Kravitz. He'd be a guy I like you to get. I think he's got a God story. This was supposed to be about.
Everybody has a God
story.
This
was supposed to be about Jesus. I read an interview with him once, and he said, "Yeah, this song's all about. It's all about Jesus preaching." I saw it. I read it. I saw it. Must be true.
You're so funny.
I know.
What do you think of that kid?
Pretty good. Very talented. Very good. Really, there was another one of those things where someone's got a really unique voice.
Yeah.
There's a timbre to it. There's a personality to it. No, that was...
Timbre?
Yeah. That's the fancy...
Timber?
No, it's spelt timber, but it's pronounced timbre in the business of music.
Right.
In general.
What was your... Can you turn the music off, please? We're past
Sorry.
The intro.
I'll do a slow fade.
What was your favorite...
Let me do a Megan fade.
What was your best memory of me growing up? Let's talk about me some more.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was when I look back at your pictures. I think it was your head and your hair.
Shut up!
You had this crazy hair. No, I think it was just... Because I think you and I are similar in a lot of ways, and there's just a connection, and you're even more crazy than I am. So I always looked up to you, not just because you're taller, but like doing stupid songs at campfire and just doing like little improv moments and all the silliness that we'd engage in. And of course, all those stories, the legend stories, like the night is electric.
Dave Smiley standing in the doorway in his underwear.
Yep, with
guys,
you.
Guys, the night is electric. Let's do something. 3 a.m. Dave, shut up. Go to bed. No, let's do something. Why? Because the night is electric. Then he goes up to the kitchen and steals a giant 800-gallon container of industrial ice cream. Brings it back to the cabin. And the night was electric, boy.
It was a little bit fat-induced as well.
Did I ever tell you the story about running from behind the hotel with Dave Smiley?
Yes.
Naked.
I thought that's where the night is electric came from.
No, it was a different night. It was like on a weekend. We took our clothes off behind some trees and then waited the last minute and then took our underwear off and put the underwear on the tree.
Okay.
And then slowly like dun 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 dun. We're going from tree to tree to bush and then we're in front of the director's house. Like we're terrified because the director's scary. So we're like, okay, I'm going to go this way. He goes, I'm not going that way. He can see me. So he goes around the other way. Now we get to the barn. Well, the barn has this giant mercury vapor light lighting up the parking lot.
I remember that.
And we're naked. We don't want to run through the light.
And like neither of you are very pale. No, yeah.
No, we're both very pale.
Yeah, exactly.
So so Dave goes, I'm not going that way. It's too bright. I'm going to go behind the in through the yard. So I said, I'm going to do it. So I run through the light into the bush. We're heading towards the swimming pond.
Yeah.
I get into the bush. I wait for him. Here he comes, and he is complaining because he has so much horse crap between his toes because he ran through the barnyard, and he's got poop all over his feet.
Oh, Dave.
So now we're walking through the bush, and all of a sudden we hear people coming back from the swimming pond. We thought we made it. There was nobody there.
Like at 3 a.m?
Yeah. So, it wasn't that late. So we scoot into the bush. Well, it's a evergreen bush. It's like a cedar bush.
Yeah.
Well, the lower branches are all like skewers. They're like shishkapobs. They're like steel blades
are
and stuff.
Are they waist high? Or
They're everywhere high.
Okay, so you weren't protected.
So we run into the bush, and again, all you can hear is Dave going, So we wait. People go by us. Now we walk down the path again, nice and cool. We get to the fire pit area where it opens up a little more.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, two more people come around the corner, and it's Brian Knights and some girl. They just had a little pash, right? So Smiley panics. I run into the bush. He looks to his left. He looks to his right. He looks to his left. He looks to his right. It's like a cartoon character. Yeah. He goes to dive into the bush. He can't penetrate the bush because it's so thick. So he just does his head move again, and then he crouches down and covers his face because if he can't see them, they can't see him. He's just this beacon white dude. He's like a giant white. There's no light, no moon. He's still glowing. Brian Knights does a double take. Runs, leaves the girl behind. He's terrified. He doesn't know what it is. A naked white thing. It looks like a golem.
Precious.
Anyway.
That's classic. I hadn't heard that whole part of the story.
Then on the way back at band camp.
Yeah.
We had to go in front. We went into the bush in front of the barn and had to cross the big hill where the slide is.
Yeah. Okay.
Wide open. We can do it. Go on the count of three. Let's go. One, two. All of a sudden we hear, hey! It's Mel.
Oh, no.
Director, it's busted us. So Smiley's running his face as fast as possible. I decide not to run. I shine my flashlight on him as he's running through the openness. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our WTF segment. That's where you join myself and a variety of religion reporters from an assortment of news outlets as we catch up on the happenings of the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh, my.
Today's WTF guest, Lauren Marco, national reporter with the Religion News Service, religionnews.com. I keep laughing because I think I just remember she heard this whole thing. Lauren Marco, can you please forgive me for telling all that nonsense because I didn't think you were on the phone?
You know, I was not about to interrupt that story. That would not be a good way to make my debut on your show. Besides, it was highly entertaining, so I'm not sure it's true, but it was extremely
entertaining. Oh, no, it's true. It's legend. It's legend
it's
at camp,
true.
Yes.
You were there. You saw it.
No.
Whoever, I was impressed because the person caught streaking covered his face, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Isn't that funny?
Quick question, Lauren. Do you have a middle name?
Yeah.
Lauren, do you have a middle
do.
Name? All our religion reporters have three names.
Yeah, the females do. So
Manya, yes, Bashir, Pashman.
Yeah, I don't use it. It's Elizabeth. I never use it, but that's, I do have one.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch. Oh, he's not doing that anymore.
I'm just plain old Lauren Marco. But, you know, if you'd like to make me sound a little more middle name-ish and esteemed, go ahead.
Why haven't we had this girl on before?
Middle name-ish.
She's the bomb. Listen, I need to just start off by giving you trouble for something.
Go ahead.
Why aren't you at the funeral?
Because yesterday I was at the lying in repose, and it would have been a little much, don't you think, to show up to both?
Like, Tim's looking at me. Lying in repose? It's a bar in Washington.
No. Lying in repose means that you lie there in your casket in the Supreme Court.
Oh, is this Scalia guy?
Yeah,
this is Scalia.
There, sorry.
Scalia. And then, but Scouts. You know what? I have to say, you said you didn't want to talk about Scalia because Canadians weren't into that. But I'm glad we're talking about it because that's where I spent yesterday. I walked up and down the line of thousands of mourners, asking them why they showed up. And
how'd that go?
To pay their respects for Scalia. So it was extremely cold, not by Canadian standards, but by American standards. It was extremely cold. Ink doesn't flow very well outside in these temperatures. So I went up and down the line with my tape recorder, and I was surprised to find such a diversity of people, all colors and faiths. It was actually, so he was a super traditional devout Catholic, and I found it difficult to find a Catholic in line. When I finally found one, it was because I saw a Georgetown University hat, and that's a Jesuit university, and I thought there are two young people, and one of them is wearing a Georgetown hat, and one of them has got to be Catholic, because I wanted to ask about whether they admired the jurist for his jurisprudence or his faith or what. And there were a lot of people online who didn't agree with his decisions, which I found interesting that they showed up anyway and braved the cold to pay their respects to the justice.
That's pretty amazing, especially considering the fact that none of our Canadian audience knows what the heck we're talking about. Aside from the cold.
Right.
They tuned in when you said it was cold. Oh, it's cold. Let's talk about
it. It was cold.
Let's talk about
it. You get cold.
Yeah.
So, yes, Scalia was extremely conservative justice on our highest court. He died over the weekend.
Yeah.
Very surprising to the country. And now we're wondering, now that we have eight people on the court, you really need an odd number to get a decision a lot of times.
Donald Trump.
We're wondering what's going to happen.
Donald Trump.
So, you know, well, you know, he didn't go to law school.
Oh, okay.
And you pretty, it's not required, but. But you pretty much should if you
want to
be on the Supreme Court.
It's not required.
No, Supreme Court.
You don't have to.
What about the Hindu guy? I like him.
Yeah, Sri Srinivasan.
I thought I was going to say that.
Thank you. Mm. No, I want some points for pronouncing his name correctly. He is an esteemed justice on a court just below the Supreme Court, and he is on a lot of short lists. For the next justice, if Obama gets to have a next justice in the last year of his term. Huh. So he's Hindu. Sri Srinivasan is Hindu. When he took the oath of office when he was sworn in as a slightly lower court judge.
I'll bet you didn't put his hand on the Bible.
He did. He put his hand on the Hindu sacred text, the Bhagavad Gita. And his mother held it. He was born in India, and we've never had a Hindu Supreme Court justice. I don't believe we've had one outside the Judeo-Christian tradition, so this would be something. There are other names on the short list, but his name keeps coming up and very high.
Yeah. Now, he was also kind of, I don't know what the right words are, but he was okay. He's okay with the same-sex marriage stuff.
He argued that case before the Supreme Court. He argued against part of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Trying to strike that down, and he was successful. So he is credited in the gay community with that legal victory. But he's also very palatable to a lot of conservatives because he's defended a lot of business clients, and Jeffrey Skilling, the head of Enron, and when he was confirmed unanimously to this lower court by the Senate. So it's hard to say that he's a really controversial guy because they already, the Senate, 97-0, they said, yeah, you can be a judge on the D.C. circuits.
Tim, come back here.
Yes, sir.
Who said this? Know these punks. They hate freedom. They hate good over evil. They would deny us the basic human right to self-defense and to keep and bear arms, while many of them have tax-paid, hired, armed security. Know them well. Tell everyone you know how evil they are. Let us raise maximum hell to shut them down. Who said that?
Mahatma Gandhi. Or Donald Trump.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong. I think we should let our religion reporter today tell us all who said those words. Lauren?
So they were repeated by, on a Facebook posting, none other than Ted Nugent, guitar shredding giant. A really, really horrific anti-Semitic posting. There's no room for arguing there. It was horrific. It had 12 Jews with the flag of Israel, and it said, look who's trying to take your guns away, or something to that effect. It was so bad that Ted Nugent, who never apologizes, apologized.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow. When did he apologize? Today? Yesterday?
I don't know the exact date.
Doesn't matter.
I knew we were going to talk about this, and I thought, you know, what happened with that story? And I Googled, you know, which is, you know, the best reporting tool. And,
I've heard.
And he apologized, and a lot of people said he really took quite a long time to do that, but he doesn't do that quite so often. It was a really such a vile post that he's a big, big gun rights guy. He's on the board of directors of the NRA.
He's a whack job. He is. Him and Alex Jones need to go out hunting together. You know what I mean?
So even the NRA folks, a lot of them were like, well, you know, the official response was he doesn't speak for the NRA, but a lot of even gun rights folks were saying we need to drop this guy. So anyway, this went beyond.
Yes, it did. Beyond the pale, as they say. What I'm surprised in all the stories that you're covering, and again, we're speaking with Lauren Marco, who, of course, is our WTF religion reporter today. That was my American accent. National reporter with Religion News Service, religionnews.com. This story about Obama visiting his first U.S. mosque, I find that amazing. Tim, are you not surprised that's the first time he's been to a mosque?
Well, yes and no. I mean,
you think he wouldn't go to a mosque because everyone was thinking, oh, he's not Christian. He's a Muslim, so of course he's going to go. So he stays away from it
intentionally?
There's
a political thing, and I think so. And I think perhaps maybe he's realizing now that it's more important that he show support for them despite – I mean, he's on his way out, so what are they going to do, fire him?
Right.
Right? So but I don't know. I am surprised, but I'm not surprised all at the same time.
Lauren, how about you? Were you kind of surprised that it's taken this long for him to get inside a mosque?
Yeah, I was surprised it has taken this long. It is kind of amazing how many people still in this country still believe he is Muslim. It's not the single digits. I don't remember the last poll exactly, but it's not in the single digits. It's a substantial minority of people still feel that. We're not talking 30, maybe it's like 18, something like that. I get the political thing. He wants to be seen as what he is, which is Christian, but he also stands as the president of this country, as the president of all people, and Muslims are under attack. And many Muslims did say, why did it take so long? In his speech, he said everything right about equality for people of all faiths. And the Muslims at this particular mosque outside Baltimore were thrilled to pieces he came. But if you looked on the Twitterverse and elsewhere, there were others who said, great speech. Thank you. What took you so long?
I know. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, as they say somewhere in the Bible or something. Okay. The other thing I need to talk about is the West Point cadets. Tim, did you hear this story? A bunch of West Point cadets for some kind of a school assignment. If I get this right, Lauren, please fill in the blanks and don't wreck a good story with facts. They developed a Facebook page. For people who wanted to join ISIS? Was that right?
Yeah, people who were seriously thinking about it. They call them fence-sitters, people who are attracted to the idea. And they wanted these people to come onto the website, and they wanted to sort of gently push them in the direction of not ISIS, into moderate Main Street Islam. But to do that, they had to have things on the website that would attract people like that. So it couldn't be like Islam is a religion of love and peace. That would just, it'd be too transparent that what they were trying to do. So they put a lot of it in Arabic, and they had the word jihad in there a lot. They tried to think like these fence sitter would think, somebody who is attracted by the violence, and mostly they couldn't give a hint as to who was behind this. They're going to be the future elite army officers of America, and they're still managing to keep their connection with the website a secret, which is amazing. It was a school assignment, and semester's over. They got their grades. They did very well, but they're still doing it. And,
wow.
Yeah.
I would never have thought about that, doing something like that. Mm. How could we do something like that for our show, Tim?
We could say we're popular and then...
Yeah. No, we start up a Facebook page for enemies of the Drew Marshall Show, you see?
Yeah. Oh.
People who want Drew Marshall off the air.
Yeah.
And then we love bomb them, right?
Right.
We secretly love bomb them. What do you think?
Bombing.
Stop it.
Okay.
All right. Lauren, there's one final quick story I just want to bring up. By the way, I said this to you on the phone. It is so hard for me to find religion reporters with a pulse. You are fun. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's... I need to invite you to our annual conference. I don't know if you know this, but we all of us meet up once a year, this year in September. And you'll see how...
Wild and crazy you really are?
Just wild, these religious
reporters.
Hey,
pass the sacramental wine.
Yeah. So apparently the boys and girls are getting together at the wall. True story?
So it depends on who you ask. So the wall, the Western Wall, the one below the Dome of the Rock, holiest place in the world for Jews, has been controlled by the ultra-Orthodox for a very, very long time, and men and women pray separately. And now there's this deal where men and women can pray together at the wall. And progressive Jews in the United States and abroad are saying this is a huge, huge victory. But there are some who are saying it's not the greatest spot at the wall, and it's not really at the wall, and it's they caved. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's up to – it's a step. It's a step for those who want to who want the wall to be a place where men and women can pray together. I don't think it's a huge victory for that faction, but it's definitely more than they had.
It's a pseudo victory. You know, I went to the wall 5 years ago. I was there and went in, and I wanted the straps. And so I went up to the guy who was handing out the straps. I don't know what they're called. The black straps you wrap around your wrist.
To fill in.
Okay. And I wanted those because like the cool people had those, right? So he said, is your father Jewish? And I said, I can't remember. I lied anyway. I said, I said, yes, my father wasn't Jewish. He says, oh, is your mother Jewish? And I thought, oh, okay, I can't lie twice. I'm by the wall. Right. So I said, no. And he said, well, then you can't have it. Your mother's side's got to be Jewish in order for you to have the straps. Is that true?
So,
or did I get ripped off again?
No, you were right.
So complicated answer. So the traditional Jewish belief is that your Jewishness comes through your mother.
Okay.
Unless you convert, so you have the option of converting, but it does come through the mother. But in more liberal Jewish traditions, that's changing. And now Reform Jews, who are the largest Jewish group in North America, are saying, actually, it can be your dad, too. So, So there. So there's never, you know, the joke is that, yes, there's one question, three answers, depending on...
I like it.
Where you stand.
Lauren Marco, national reporter with Religion News Services. To find out more about those stories and more, go to religionnews.com. Lauren, I like you. I'd like you to come back. Please do.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me on.
Enjoy your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Lauren Marco.